I am your host, Michelle Lawrence. It's the middle of the day and the middle of the week, but you've tuned in to the right show to get you over the hump. We will have riveting conversations about what I call the four W's. Worth, wellness, wisdom, and wealth. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in His sight. Good afternoon, 860 AM listeners. This is your host, Michelle Lawrence. I am excited to have another hour with you today. We will explore wellness, but before we get into the show, we're going to get it started right by giving acknowledgement to the one who's made it all possible. And we will read scripture. And this week's scripture comes from Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, the 1st through the 6th verse. And it reads as follows. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." I've just read for you Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, the 1st through the 6th verse. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of His word. Now, we've heard this scripture many a times, and what I want to share with you on today is we remain in our brokenness, sometimes out of shame, fear, or determining to fix ourselves. I need us to know that we are not left to our own devices nor to our own capabilities to solve these problems. There are, in fact, answers beyond what we are able to do, and there are resources that will help begin putting us back together again. God has made way through medical, clinical, and other professionals to assist us in the rebuild. Now, some may be asking, how does that play with faith? I would say, faith is evidence in knowing that He is the provider, and there are many ways by which He makes provisions. And just like He's given each of us gifts and talents, we can be rest assured that those gifts and talents are with all of His people. And some of those are through healing. Some of those are through other medical fields. Some of those are through other expertise. And because He has given those gifts to them, He is providing resources through His children. And so it's not the faith that He is going to touch us directly Himself, and not that that is impossible, but He is making ways through other avenues for us to be made whole. So in fact, this doesn't challenge our faith. It is actually a part of our faith walk. Therefore, it's important for us not to fall into the fallacies of we can self-correct or self-medicate or self-do all of these things, but that in fact that there are other ways by which the healing can come and that we can get on the road to recovery. There is comfort in knowing that just as the clay was in the potter's hand, we are in His hand. And speaking of the potter's house, we will now hear Tremaine Hawkins, The Potter's House.
Together again. Oh, the potter wants to put
I just heard Tremaine Hawkins, The Potter's House. And so it's an old song, but it's applicable today. When we think about our brokenness, it is going to him with our all in the state that we are in. There is no, I'm going to fix myself and, you know, when I get ready and when I get good, then I'll, you know, be able to be used. That is not the case when it comes to the one that we serve. The great thing is we can come in the condition that we are in. I said he has made miracles out of my mess. Over and over again. And so as we talk about today's session, I am excited that it's wellness and it is focusing on picking up the pieces. When I first started this show, it's built on four W's, and the four are wealth, worth, wisdom, and wellness. And you would think that there would be a fifth, but it's not. But the focus is so that folks become whole. I want listeners at the end of the day to become whole. And so this has become a venue for experts to come on and dispel myths, to provide roadmaps to recovery, whether it's through wisdom, worth, wellness, or wealth. And today, we're going to talk about being made whole through wellness. And I can't tell you, like, I've been jumping up and down. They almost gave me heart palpitations earlier. But I am so grateful to have a platform where both of these doctors, yes, I have the pleasure of having, and I know they're both looking like this, don't believe the hype, but I do believe the hype. They have worked diligently. I have Dr. Rihanna Anderson back, ladies and gentlemen, in the studio. Welcome, Dr. Rihanna.
Thank you.
And I have, it's his first time, but I promise you it won't be his last, Dr. Sean, don't let me forget the C.T. Jones. So glad to have you in the studio today.
Thank you so much. So glad to be here.
Yeah. And so we're going to jump right in because I want them to share their wealth of knowledge. They have done some great work, y'all. And they have done some great work individually, and they have done some great work collectively. So we're going to get started with Dr. Rihanna.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it.
Yes. So the last time she was here, I couldn't share the good news, and I'm not going to steal her thunder. But, y'all, she is headed to the West Coast, and while my heart is breaking, I am excited for her. So, Doc, share, you know, the great news.
Well, my dear, I am headed to the University of Southern California to be an assistant professor, so I'm really excited to do that. But sad, too, to be leaving all of my Philly fam.
Well, we are so excited and proud of you. The work, you hear me, I said it this morning on one of my calls, people want the win, but they don't want the work. And so you've put in the work to get out to USC. And USC, y'all better get ready. If you know, like I know. She is bringing all of her gifts and talents to make a difference and an impact out there. And so I am so excited for her. And, you know, we may have to do some figuring out on the 3-hour distance for her callback ends.
Fine, we can do that.
But the blessing she has been. Doc, just remind the folks of the great work you've done and then talk more about Embrace.
Yeah. So it's really great to be back on the show talking about wellness again. And so last time we talked about my postdoctoral fellowship position at the University of Pennsylvania. And so what brought me to Philly was an amazing advisor, Howard Stevenson, at the University of Pennsylvania, who does community-based work with the concept of how does race impact families, how does race impact teaching, how does it impact the children and the outcomes that they have. And in particular, how does two elements of racial discrimination and the buffering of that racial socialization, the way that we talk to kids about the racial world around them, how do those two things work together? So I had already been thinking about discrimination and parenting programs. He had been thinking about larger community-based programs, and coming together, we thought, well, how do we get a family-based program around preparing kids for the racial world around them and celebrating the richness of their culture as well? So within my first year of my fellowship, came up with this idea of engaging, managing, and bonding through race or embrace. Mm. And so it's a 7-week family program where we take families through conversations that they may have. We take them through what's going on in the world with current events and potential things, so hypothetical situations that we assume kids of color today are facing, and what ways we can best prepare and support our children and tear down some of those walls that the parents may have as well from their trauma of racial discrimination. So that's what we've been up to. It's been a beautiful time here, my 2 years developing and implementing this program, and the families are absolutely wonderful. We celebrated with them last week at a community celebration where they came out with their families and not only had a good time with each other, but then played through families, like across families. So you see kids talking to one another, putting their cell phones down, right? Like just this amazing time of no technology. So we had an amazing time in wrapping up the program with my staff in the coming weeks just to thank them. So it's been an amazing 2 years, and it will continue next year here in Philly and in LA. So I'm really excited about that.
That's when you know you've had impact. You're going to take what you started in one city and now you're going to another major city and say, we're rolling out the same thing.
Yeah.
But what I heard her talk about on the first show was how these families entered, I won't say broken, but they do enter splintered.
Mm. And some of the families have had some parent-child relationship problems indeed. Yeah.
And so to hear you say, no, at the end of the 7 weeks, you know, there's this cross-pollination. Yeah. Everybody is hugging and loving and putting down the phones. First of all, that's just a feat in itself, right, putting the phones down. But this whole idea of the journey to wholeness.
Yeah.
Share, because I know you said it was 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. Talk more along the lines of what happens in that journey to get to that outcome.
Yeah. So there are 5 total program weeks. So we have a pre and post test, which is just how is your family doing? Let's assess a baseline at the first week and then the outcomes in the last week. So those 5 middle weeks are part of this journey. And it's funny that you mentioned that we actually just developed like this worksheet of like your journey through embrace, what that will look like. And so we show families in the first session, you're going to start with pride. We want to really know, get a foundation. We know that that's one of the major components that can lead to identity, academic, and psychological achievement for youth. So we want to ground the family in this pride. Mm. And then we start stepping into, well, what does it look like when we actually face discrimination? What does that preparation look like in our next session? The third session, we actually go again into this potential trauma that parents in particular have faced, which is if you have had some negative experience and you want to pass that down to your kid, how can you do it in a way that is not expressing anxiety or depression for that child who's now internalizing all of these negative things that you might be saying about other people?
Right.
And the last session, we actually think about how this post-racial construct has come up, and we want to make sure that the kids are hearing, yes, you are human, and yes, you can do all of these things, and there are things that, because of your race, may happen to you. So we want to make sure that we're balancing all of these strategies that people are trying to throw at you. And so those are the 4 weeks, and then the 5th week, we do a lot of applied skills and focus on the termination. How do we end it in a way that families feel supported with each other?
Those are intense steps, Doc. But you can't get to being whole without the work.
That's
so what you're describing is that each week there's a different step, which means you have to have put in, you know, some self-assessment, some vulnerability.
Yeah.
So all of those things. How do you get them? Because that's a lot. I just met you. So glad to see you. Please be vulnerable with me. How do you create that culture, that atmosphere?
Yeah. Well, I first want to give a shout out to one of the families. So you mentioned putting in a lot of work. We titled something homework, and the child said, no, it's fun work because it's so much fun when we take it home.
Wow.
And so we have actually changed the name of that in our program to fun work. So shout out to my baby who came up with that. So to think about what is going to be not only fun but applied. So what types of things are already in the media. We use a lot of Blackish examples. So we have it on our jump drive and give to families, or these YouTube videos that we find. So things that kids are already looking at and watching, we want to just bring into their reality of, here are some questions around this specific point in the episode that we want you to talk about. or to get at that vulnerability that you mentioned, we do extensive training with our staff so that when they see these folks for the first time, it's not just let's dive into this clinical work. It's here I am. I'm going to express a bit of who I am and expose a bit of that. Let's figure out our common ground before we go into this. So we spend a lot of time training, and before we start any sessions, we get into just who are you, our basic humanity. So we've had a really good response to that, and if folks go into the first session, they've continued. That's been our experience, that we don't lose folks after they come in to their first session, so they really enjoy the experience from what they're telling us.
So they don't become this number and this, you know, lab rat. So let me figure out who you are so that I can.
Absolutely.
But more importantly, you have this connectivity.
Yeah.
That says, I'm going to meet you, and I'm going to meet you not just in words, but let me share.
Yeah.
So in that sharing, we connect.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. You changed something for me in our last session, and though my question was incomplete, my thought was it. You changed something for me by changing it from being called therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about how that shift and what that does to, you know, the families that are participating.
Yeah, and that'll definitely tie in a bit to what Sean and I are going to speak on later, but the stigma that we have around therapy, right? So I love that this category is wellness.
Mm-hmm.
So mental health is wellness. It's a part of our wellness. And so many people in our community put it to the back burner because of some really good issues, right? It's not to say that what they're thinking is inappropriate. There have been a lot of medical mistrust issues. There have been the lab rat experiments that you described. So it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It is a part of our history. And there are people like Sean and I who are trying really hard to fight against that stigma. And so if we start something about therapy,
right,
saying that it's therapy, in essence, we're saying that Black folks need therapy because of the stuff that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're saying through Embrace is the world has done a lot to our people. How can we as families buffer against that? So what are the skills that we already have as a community, as a culture, and as a family that can really buffer against what the society has been waging against us since we first came to this country?
Wow.
Right? And so we don't call it therapy because there is a lot that goes into that. But at the same time, realizing that I am utilizing therapeutic principles. So the training of my clinicians is very much so based on this is a therapeutic technique in African-American-centered, you know, processes, in trauma-focused processes. So we're absolutely concerned with doing therapeutic work.
Right.
We use terms, though, that are friendlier to the community and will not stop them at the door like, no, I'm not doing therapy. That's not what you're going to get me to do today.
Right.
They're going through therapeutic processes. It's just called like a program. It's called sessions. We just don't term it that.
And it makes a difference.
It does.
Because my perception leads me, you know, allows me to also enter into it a little differently. So it's almost like filming the movie, right? Nobody is, you know, seeing all the cameras and, you know, the footage and all the extras because of the edits, but the outcome. And so with presenting the outcome as something that you're focusing on, you use language that says, I need to engage you. Don't worry about all of the other pieces. I'll work on that on the back end. But on the front end, I need you connected. Thanks, Doc, because I need to get to the two of you. But before that, I get to spend a few seconds, you know, explaining to the listeners who Dr. Sean C.T. Jones. Impressive. He's probably going to be just a little embarrassed, but I'm going to take a second. He has a bachelor's from Duke University, an MHS from John Hopkins University, and received his doctorate from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. So I think he just went across the country going, let me see, check mark, John Hopkins, check mark, Duke, check mark, North Carolina.
Add something real quick.
Please
do. Okay, there's a few more, Michelle.
Oh.
After he completed the PhD at UNC, he got a fellowship, a clinical fellowship at the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, and now he's crossed back over across the United States to his postdoctoral fellowship at Penn. Okay, that's all.
Oh, so thank you. So I didn't have, maybe it was because it was lost in the 10 pages I had to print out. About who he is. And we smile and we laugh about that, but I want the listeners to hear that the work has been put in. Yeah. And that in as much as you're going to describe the work that you're doing, it is because you have done a tremendous amount of work. And so thank you. And I got corrected, you know, because Dr. Rihanna was like, Michelle, CT, don't forget the CT. I don't know what it quite stands for. I don't even know if I can say it on the air, but it is Dr. Sean CT Jones. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show with us today.
Michelle, thank you so much for such a warm, warm welcome. I am really honored to hear those words. A little bit of the shire among the two of us. So, but that really means a lot to be received so warmly. And the CT stands for Christopher Tracy. It's just my middle names. My mama gave me those names. So.
Well, look, we have them, right? We can get them. I actually told my mom the same thing. Where did you find Antoinette? Well, don't you understand? It was French and blah, 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 blah. But we all good, Doc. Yeah. We all good. Talk a little bit about the journey and, you know, what got you into the field? Because I'm waiting for my second question, but I'm giddy mm-hmm. to the first one. What got you into the field, and why is this such a passion of yours?
Yeah, absolutely. So, wow. So, you know, my doctoral journey, right, is mm-hmm. 6 years on paper, but really the journey for me being in this field of mental health, mental wellness, started in my youth and my childhood. You know, I initially wanted to be, you know, like a mad scientist was the thought, was this idea of trying to understand better how things come together
right.
to make something different. How can you put things in mm-hmm. and the outcome become something that's familiar but new at the same time? And as I continue to grow, you know, I think I learned more about psychology and the way, you know, that we, you know, understand folks' psyche and mind and behaviors and thoughts and how those things interact together to kind of present the person you are and how one can kind of work to help or enhance folks who may be, you know, having some difficulties. So when I got to Duke as a wide-eyed freshman, I thought that the answer was to be a medical doctor. I wanted to actually be a psychiatrist, or
okay.
so I thought. You know, I came from a background where I knew very much so the weight of what an MD stood for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought the best way to enter mental health was by being a psychiatrist. And so I was pre-med for 3 years and also a psych major at the same time. And thankfully, continue to take more intensive courses and understanding about intervention and therapy and seeing the broader ways in which mental health could be realized as a career and as a path outside of just the medical model. And there was something about the medical model that, while important, didn't resonate in my energy and my spirit in the same way as you know, developing interventions or conducting, you know, working with folks in therapy and speaking and communicating and listening, most importantly. And so after my junior year, I kind of switched to saying, okay, I want to be a psychologist, a doctoral level psychologist. And so that began that journey and shift. And the public health piece of it was mm-hmm. also at the same time this growing interest. Which will feed into the other question of, it's not enough to just think about the one-on-one
yes.
impact, but how do we have a broader impact in health and in mental health in particular? And so that really, you know, kind of bred that marriage of psychology and public health and that desire to want to, you know, help folks. And again, a lot of times folks in our field may kind of get a little bit of pushback, folks who look like us, folks of color, scholars of color, because they sometimes disparagingly talk about MeSearch.
Mm.
But I actually think that that's an excellent way, and it's something that has informed both my and I know and talking with Rihanna's way of approaching life, whether it's looking in our native towns or looking in our families, our friendship networks, and seeing folks who had successes and also struggles and challenges and also trying to just think through, you know, what are the factors that help folks be resilient in the face of all of the stressors and the traumas and things that they have to navigate and deal with? And how do we help to capitalize and catch that kind of lightning of resilience in a bottle and help folks do that more effectively, or help folks locate, you know, where those resilient factors may lie? Is something that, again, ultimately led me to my journey. And so it's been, again, 6 years in the making from the doctoral sense, and just been such a blessing to be in this field and to kind of continue to do this work.
Well, you have certainly done the work, amen, to the 6 years just in the doctoral there. And it's not just about the years that you spent, but it's the type of work and the decisions that you made to decide to move away from MD to the psychology, to do more of the therapeutic. Now I get to dig in, Doc. I get to go in deep. You know, I read everything that people post or send to me. So you have a quote that says, "I am passionate about eliminating racial health disparities, particularly those related to mental health services, which you see is obtainable through stigma reduction and mental health literacy intervention." Mm-hmm. Now, that's a mouthful, mm-hmm. but that's a heck of a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did that, first of all, how did that become your driver? Yeah. And then what are you doing to have it come to fruition?
Absolutely. So, you know, really, I think, you know, I touched on that a little bit. But when I got to Hopkins and started to really delve into understanding health disparities more largely defined, but then also particularly as I had the specific interest in mental health, you know, you really learn, as Rihanna also talked about a little bit, the history of things like, you know, Tuskegee, and there are all these things that really have contributed to a broad mistrust that, you know, black people and folks of color in general have against, you know, toward the health system broadly defined. And then you also think about things like needing to be strong and appear strong and mm-hmm. And what that means for how we may or may not interface with mental health and you know, seek services for things that we're struggling with when it comes to our minds. Sometimes the body, you know, the body keeps score, they say, right? And so sometimes you can't deny eventually needing to go to the doctor if you have a broken bone.
Right.
But if that brokenness is more emotional, sometimes we feel that we can just manage it without having, you know, to talk with folks. And that comes from a number of different places that, again, you know, I understand, and I think we understand in this field. And so for me, that's where that drive started. And it's interesting, when I wrote that into my bio, it is definitely a driver, and it's also, for me, it is the driver, it's aspirational, it's continual, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I am not so naive to believe that I put that there, that this is something that, you know, in 5 years' time is going to be the case. But the reason why I was intentional about including that and really thinking about that as a driver is so that it continues to remind me the work that we have yet to do and ahead of us. And so the ways in which that, you know, I and we try to do that, you know, one thing is talking about it, right? So being having opportunities like this, having opportunities like we did a Twitter chat forum during Mental Health Awareness Month, where a bunch of different mental health providers got together and had a Twitter forum. And, you know, I've talked in different communities that I've been in around issues of mental health stigma in the African-American community. And so I think helping folks to using our style, using humor, using our cultural assets to kind of demystify and de-jargonize some of these topics that seem so, like, you know, what is schizophrenia really mean, or what does being depressed really look like, or and really just trying to help folks understand, you know, and that starts with also talking with my family. You know, when I first went to school, my family was like, "Oh, you want to be a shrink?" So right. Even understanding from that that place, how to kind of better interface with folks, just again by having conversations. And also, I think a big thing around the mental health stigma reduction is the development of our mental health minute that Rihanna and I have come up with. And so those are some of, you know, I think the initial attempts that I and we have made to be committed to that mission.
Well, Doc, both of you have shared this journey around becoming whole by first saying we're going to acknowledge. And for people of color, that does a whole lot in itself. Can you just say, stop telling me to get over it and just acknowledge that I have experienced, or even generationally, there has been some experiences that are impacting me. And so just the acknowledgement of it almost begins to crack or lift some of the burden or the weight. And so I need our listeners to hear that it's important to get into a place where it is acknowledged. Now, you can't stay there, because that's also what I heard them say, but just someone acknowledging, yes, you've had the experience, yes, you've been through, and then meeting them where they are to get them back to wholeness. Love it. Love it. The other piece that I heard both of them say, they're intentional. It is not an accident. What they are committed to, as Dr. Jones said, it is not lost on him that it will not be accomplished in 4 years, 5 years. But it is a goal nevertheless, a continuous goal. It's almost going after excellence, right? You just keep at it. You keep at it. And hopefully someone else picks up the torch to keep taking it even further. We are going to come back after this break. I need you to stay tuned, because if you think they have done some incredible things individually, I'm telling you, give us these couple of minutes. You are in for quite the ride to learn what they are doing collectively to make a difference in mental wellness, ladies and gentlemen. It is 8:60 a.m. Michelle Speaks Radio. See you after the break.
This Wednesday, 1 p.m., drop everything that you're doing and tune in right here, the heart of the city, with me, Malik Boyd. This is a no-holds-barred show. Real issues, real discussions, real solutions. And with some great guests, hot topics, and some surprises mixed in, I promise you this will be a show you don't want to miss. The heart of the city with me, Malik Boyd, Wednesday, 1 p.m., right here on 860.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today. Today's broadcast is brought to you by the Philly Labor RX Injured Workers Pharmacy Network, featuring PPC Pharmacy, First Choice Pharmacy, and Precision Scripts, providing injured workers with premium products and services from the point of injury through the entire healing process. The Philly Labor RX Pharmacy Network cares about injured workers.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that, overall, you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't seen your lap in months. And even more stuff. But still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs. And it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Introducing the YMCA. What? You already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
Welcome back to Michelle Speaks, 860 AM. If you are just tuning in, it has been a wonderful segment on wellness. We have in the studio none other than Dr. Rihanna Anderson and Dr. Sean C.T. Jones, and they have shared such great information on what the journey looks like individually for them and the work that they have done around helping families and helping individuals. Now we're going to spend this segment talking about the work that they have done together. Their collaborative efforts, I would say, is changing how individuals are being reached and connected. And so I'm going to first ask, how did the two of you meet? Now, I read and kind of got an idea, but, you know, either of you share, how did you meet?
So it's, I think it's funny. There's a backstory to even the meeting. So we met in 2011 at the Black Graduate Conference in Psychology at Miami, and I saw his poster, and I walked up to him like, "That's my idea. What are you talking about?"
In my
typically accusatory way. But even before that moment, we actually were going to be classmates at Hopkins. So I also got into the program the same year. We would have been very small group classmates. And I started my doc program 1 year before he did. So that started our journey of 1 year apart in our training. But that was a really cool discovery once I found that out after yelling at him in 2011.
I was just
going to
say, I don't know how he might have felt about the whole... Let me meet you. Thank you for stealing my idea.
In love.
The reflection, right? All love now. But because of that meeting, you two have come together to develop what is called the Mental Health Minute. And I don't care where you are. Well, I do if you're driving. You need to go and look, and they're going to give you more information about how to see their segments, their vignettes on Mental Health Minute. But share how you first conceived Mental Health Minute, and then what goes into the making and the message delivery, because that is what's so impactful.
Yes. So, gosh, a couple of years ago, we were at another conference together, and we were both kind of looking at one another. We had grown to do by that time. We had collaborated on other projects, and, you know, we're like, we got to do more. We got to do more. You know, we're writing these papers, and yeah, they're having some impact, but we really want to reach our people on a broader stage, and we really sat together and said, how can we do this? How can we address stigma around mental health? And and really, that was, you know, we sat there and we kind of had an initial brainstorming session, which is always lively and fun between the two of us. And at the end of it, we had the idea of our Mental Health Minute. And had started to do some kind of rough outlining of what, you know, at least the first couple of session ideas, as we call them, or our first couple of videos might look like, and came back again a year later and kind of shot some very rough drafts of the first two sessions. So look back and wonder now where we're at from where we were. But, you know, that we kind of had these kind of B-roll type drafts of videos, and really the rate limiting step at the time was we were never, because of this 1 year apart, never quite in the same space at the same time for longer than a conference, you know, 3 or 4 days at a time. So once it was time for me to go on for postdoc, we were like, if we can ever get in the same place, we're gonna, you know, take this thing to the moon and stars as far as we can take it. And so you know, it was ordained, and we were blessed to both end up Rihanna Trailblazer that she is first, and then I you know, started this year here at Penn, and we got together and we said, okay, we're here.
Yeah.
You know, and now we are going to make this a reality. And so thus began kind of the formal rebirth, I guess, of our Mental Health Minute and the way it is today.
Well, it sounds like it was in creation for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you continued to press forward despite the scheduling to have it be what it is today just says a lot about the commitment to the work. So that's why I didn't mind spending in and putting in the time to talk about both of you at the front end, because there's more than just words behind, well, we're a year apart, we only meet at conferences, we only got 3 or 4 days, but we're gonna do what we can. And now you have an incredible minute where you share some great messaging on mental health. Doc, you were, I can't just say Doc anymore because there's like two of you, right?
Well, I'm your first Doc.
That's right.
I think to your question about it, right? So how can we get folks to watch our stuff or to listen to us, right? Mm-hmm. So we know pamphlets, we know billboards, we know spiels at the doctor's offices. We know that these things exist. But what are folks doing anyway? And this is what I was saying about Embrace, right? What are the kids, what are the, you know, the parents doing anyway? A lot of them are on YouTube. A lot of them are finding these little minute, 2 minute long things that are going viral that they can share and say, check this out. So we really thought that this would be the perfect place to do it. And thankfully, we started on YouTube, but I think even with Facebook pages being what they are now, they have changed since we even started.
Yeah.
It's allowed us to get it out a bit more. So it's really thinking about what are folks doing? How can we tap into that? And how do we make it so that folks are seeing who we are and can get a piece of that, to go back to the vulnerability part? Like, we're showing who we are and what we do.
Yeah.
And so that you can say, I resonate with that. I look like this person. And I said the same thing last week. So just making it a little more attainable.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, we were talking before the show about one of the episodes, I guess I'll say, or one of the vignettes. And as much as you want to smile and laugh, because one of the pieces in that was around drinking and tolerance. And Doc Rihanna was going, you don't know what my tolerance is. Suppose I can, you know, do more than you. And, you know, and as much as you wanted to laugh, I connected with seeing that. Because how many times have I heard, well, my tolerance is different than yours, or you just can't hold your liquor the way I can. And for, you know, Sean to chime in and go, no, let me add some clarity around the myth that you are, fantasy that you're living in. How do you determine the message? I mean, that, how do you come up with the content?
Yeah, so we set aside intentional time every week to develop the scripts for the sessions that we do. And honestly, it's a mixture. So we, you know, when we first came together, we outlined topics that we really thought resonated the most in the African American community, for sure, and wanted to make sure that in our first season that we addressed those. We also, you know, at different points in time have also opened it up to our viewership and asked folks to write us with different topics or different situations and scenarios that, you know, folks may be dealing with or curious about learning more about. And so we've taken that kind of combination of what's relevant in popular culture, what's relevant in our community, what's relevant from folks who are watching this, and have you kind of used that to really guide the broader topics that we use. But I think within each one, we actually, one of the first things we did was kind of develop this kind of percentage or pie chart of like one part humor, this like recipe, one part humor, one part cultural style,
right?
One part, you know, again, non-jargon, non-technical information,
right?
Some, you know, as we can, connection to resources, to allow the information to live beyond that 1 to 2 to 3 minutes sometimes. So, you know, really, we sit down together and you know, some of it, again, I think is really just is destined. I think we just have such a really good vibe and energy that, you know, we sit down and we start to, again, kind of, you know, brainstorm and dream together. And we're like, okay, well, how would we say it? You know, even on the way over here, we were working on a script. And, you know, rather than saying, what is it about this topic? You know, Rihanna looked over and said, well, how would you say this? How would you say you had to depend on somebody, right?
Right.
And that's how the flow, and we hope the natural You know, kind of back and forth, the wittiness of it all comes, it's natural because we're really kind of developing the script in vivo as we're kind of just talking it out in our natural voice with our own experiences, bringing our villages and what we've heard from grandmama and them and uncle and them. And we bring that, and that kind of ends up being the content, you know, the content in between the hard information, facts and figures and percentages as well. So I think that's my thought about how it comes together. Yeah.
So, you know, I love how he described the recipe, you know, two parts this, one third that, a pinch of this, a taste of that. But yet and all, that culmination is what makes it so that people are watching and stay engaged and feel like I do, going, oh, I know, I've heard that before, you know, and then for me to then share it with folks and go, you got to watch this. Some of it is tied to people will smile and laugh, but almost like the Richard Pryor effect, right? You would go, aha, aha, ooh, did you hear what he just said? You know, and so it has that kind of message. Talk about, you know, because I've given just a snippet of what one of them is. What are some of the messages? Because you have said you've been deliberate and intentional, and you've gotten, you know, you've asked for input, and you've come up with. So what are some of the messages that you've delivered through this vehicle?
Yes, quickly, thinking about depression, anxiety, stress, and coping. Chime in, Sean. You're the mental.
So we did a segment during Black History Month where we talked about things, you know, like the intersection of racism and mental health, or the intersection of talking to your kids about race and how that can help their mental wellness. We have talked about drugs and alcohol. We have talked about parenting issues. Mm-hmm. We've talked about issues relevant to children. So we had those complimentary sessions as well. So I think
so you run the gamut.
Yeah.
And so if you have haven't had a moment, would you share with the listeners how do they get to plug in and then see, you know, the Mental Health Minute?
Sure. We're on four different social medias, Michelle.
Yes.
Folks can go to Instagram at Our MHM, Facebook at Our MHM, Twitter at Our MHM, and YouTube is a little tricky because they don't want us to be great, but it's okay. You can type in Re and CT. And if you also just Google Our Mental Health Minute, Re and CT, all of those should pop up as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know that you're out there and you're hearing it. I'm telling you, this Mental Health Minute, if food is good for the soul, this is good for the spirit. And so in this work, this journey around being made whole, they have come up with a way to connect that is quick, it's easy, it's portable. You, no matter where you are, you can access it, and more importantly, you can learn from it. And so that is something that I am very excited about. Where do you see Mental Health Minute going? Yes. Look at them, they're like, we're trying to get the next episode.
It's true. I'll say this quickly and then I'll turn it over. So Sean mentioned the impact that the Lord and Destiny have had in this coming together. And so I laugh because, again, we would have been either classmates, we would have met at this conference. So either way, there's a reason that our time has intersected with each other. It's also very interesting that I'm now going to the top media school in the United States and that I happen to be next door to the Lucas School of Cinematic Arts, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's interesting. And Sean has also spent some time in L.A. again from his clinical internship. So it's interesting that there's this, even though L.A. is not this space where I think psychologists are typically lauded, right? I think in the Northeast, that's where you see all this academic and, like, you know, serious scholarly work, right? But we're saying that something that we're doing isn't reaching our community. We have to think about it differently. That might be through cinema arts. And so I'm just, again, I can't call it. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but it's just interesting that that's how the, you know, the work is going with where I'm going. So,
Yeah, I would say speak it as if it were so, right? You put it in the atmosphere. She's like, I don't know if I need that in the atmosphere just yet.
But, yeah, absolutely. Sean. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that has been, you know, so such a blessing is that, we came together and we really, the story that I shared about just wanting to make an impact, for us, that would have been, job well done. It was just to create something, as long as folks were able to take it up and to see it and to relate to it, that would have been job well done for us. And so we got into a position as the series started to pick up more traction, where we started to think about, like, okay, well, how is this going to continue to live on, when we're no longer together? And again, just to echo, I think we don't actually know yet, but we know that we're willing to, we've joked about, Skype or like FaceTime sessions. We're going to use, all that God has given us and our creativity and our gifts and talents to continue, to make the series what it is. And, I've thought about, other ways to kind of continue to expand the work. So we're looking forward to it. Yeah.
So this is no differently than when you first started, right? There was this, kind of forming figuration of sorts, and then it popped and you got this connectivity, and now there's just this new type of, okay, well, we have to find another iteration of some sort to make it work, but what He has ordained,
amen,
will be. So we're there, we're almost at closing. What comments or what nuggets? We always have nuggets on the show, Doc, that. What nuggets do you have for our listeners around mental health minute?
I'm going to steal a little bit of a potential thunder for Sean. So you asked about outcomes in our brief sheet. And so when you have things like folks who Sean is friends with telling him about a young man who was struggling with his racial identity, and then the teacher plays him our racial identity mental health minute, and this kid teaches his friends the routine and then comes back to the teacher and says, look at what we did, like the cutest thing. We both had tears in our eyes thinking about the impact that our work is doing for the youth. And so the nugget that I would take away, particularly because we are concerned with youth outcomes, is your youth, your children are being impacted by what the world is doing constantly. And now that we have this expansive world where we can't monitor what our kids are seeing every day, the messages that our kids are getting about who they are, their blackness, their humanity, right, is being challenged. And so what the Mental Health Minute is doing is acknowledging that, as we've said, it's bringing the awareness into our experience, and it's saying, here are some very practical tips on addressing it. And if we have not addressed it, hit us up and we will absolutely put you in touch with other folks. So we just want to say that mental health matters. And that's I think what we've seen by some of the outcomes that have been presented to us.
Yeah, that's great. I almost have nothing else to say when you put it together so beautifully like that. But I will to harken back to what you said before, the idea that faith is knowing that God can provide and knowing that there are multiple means to provision. And I think you think about mental health in that same way again, right? And so, and wellness, right? There are multiple ways to get to wellness. And we've said throughout, prayer and family support and, soul food Sundays, all of that is good as well. And we also want to show in a way that therapy and talking about these topics, that's another way, and that's another pathway and an avenue to wellness. And moreover, the intersection and using those things, all of those tools together, right? Expanding, we're about expanding that toolkit of coping resources, of wellness resources. So I think that would be the nugget that we hope folks are taking away when they're watching Mental Health Minute, or just in general thinking about where mental health fits in the concept of wellness, is it's another piece of armor, another pool of coping resources that we want our folks to pick up and use as well, because it can be helpful. It is helpful. We're believers in it. We're proponents of it. This is why we do the work that we do. And so that would be the only addition I would have.
Well, I can't thank the two of you enough for being on today's show about wellness. I wrote down something. It's a part of a song, and I'm almost I am living by this, and the two of you remind me of it. And it says, if I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living is not in vain. right? And so the two of you are making such a huge impact. And so I don't want you to lose sight of it, because, you know, some folks look for this grandeur. Well, was it a million? If it's the one,
yeah,
you don't know that the one you've changed will change a million, right? And
absolutely,
so I need you to be encouraged to stay the course. And anything that I can do to help propel you to the next level, oh, know that I am going to. Listeners, this has been a show about wellness and the journey from brokenness to being made whole. You do not have to do it alone. We are in his hands, and he is the ultimate provider. And there are resources outside of our own capabilities. We are not to self-medicate or have this idea, this fallacy, that we will get right and then go be right. No, no, no. There are people in place. Stop looking so far beyond what's almost right in front of you. Have the conversations. Be willing to meet and be vulnerable. I know that it may hurt. I know it may challenge you, but there are folks like Dr. Rihanna and Dr. Sean who will meet you where you are and get you on that path to wholeness. I thank you for listening and staying connected with us today on our wellness segment. It has been my pleasure serving as your host for this last hour on 860 AM. We are coming up on Write the Vision. It is the second workshop that we are giving at Michelle Speaks. I'm so excited about it on June 24th. Be sure you come prepared to do the work on transferring your vision boards into actual plans. Yeah, it is now no longer can I see it, but can I do it? And is there a measurable outcome from it? And so I will see you on June 24th at the Red Cross. Again, thank you for staying tuned in to 860 AM. This is Michelle Speaks. God bless. See you next week.